Buenos dias, hello, and welcome everyone to the Lovely Travels podcast. This week, Emma spoke to her friend Pedro in Spain, and without giving too much away, how do you know Pedro?
Hola a todas. I met Pedro because we were roomies in Mexico when I was studying on exchange in 2009, and Pedro was from Spain. And we got on really well, traveled quite a bit in Mexico together, and have stayed in touch ever since.
That's awesome. Did you enjoy talking to him? I know the answer.
I did. He's such a beautiful friend. But also, I went to visit him in Barcelona in España in 2014. And I've been to Spain quite a few times myself, but it was really lovely to go and see him in the town that he was living in and to see his city through his eyes. And we did some really cool things. So it was, it's so special. And this was such a cool episode because bar you and I, this was the first episode I recorded with somebody who's in their country right now. I've been to that country, but we also had a local of that country. And I just think you get to learn so much from a local.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Well, without further ado, let's get cracking.
Yes. Hasta luego.
Hasta la vista.
Baby.
Baby.
Hola, Pedro. Bienvenido a Lovely Travels Podcast.
Hola, muchas gracias.
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, ¿y tú?
Yeah, muy bien. Don't worry, listeners, I'm not going to speak Spanish the whole episode. One, because my English brain is on today, so I don't want to do that to Pedro and butcher his language. But also maybe for a lot of the listeners might be English speakers, so but if you're Spanish, bienvenido, welcome. So Pedro and I studied together in Mexico back in 2009, but he's from Spain. So why did you choose Mexico to study?
Well, really, it was my sister who told me that she wanted to go to Mexico. And I don't know why I look in the website of my university. And I found an internship to go, a grant to go there. And so I request it, and yeah, they say me yes. And finally, I ended in Mexico.
Sí, órale. And so that must have was a little bit easier for you because you speak Spanish. There are some differences, though, between the Spanish of Spain and the Spanish of Mexico.
Yes, it's the same language with different words and different accent, but at the end it's like when you speak English from US or Australia, UK, it's not the same, but you can communicate perfectly.
Sí, y muy beneficial para mí porque estábamos roomies. The reason we met is because I ended up moving into the apartment with 5 people. It was Pedro de España, Laura de España, Geraldine de Francia, France, y Deborah de Alemania, Germany. So there were 5 of us from 4 countries.
Yes, very exciting.
And we had some nice Italian friends used to come, and it was funny for me because in the beginning, the common language, because we were in Mexico, would be to speak Spanish. But I think also Pedro enjoyed practicing English with me. And but when everybody was speaking Spanish in the first month, it all sounded the same to me. But then by the end, I could hear the different accents, you know, that someone from Italy speaking Spanish sounds like different to someone Spanish speaking Spanish, to someone German speaking Spanish, to an Australian speaking Spanish. We all sounded very different. It was muy divertido.
Muy divertido, yes.
But we made a little rule, I think, as well. I made a rule with Laura. I think we had a similar rule that you would practice your English with me and I would have to speak Spanish to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
We try to improve our languages.
Yeah. And I call Pedro mi hermano de España. So I call him my brother. Because like when we were living together, he was like, mostly because you love racing cars. And my brother also loves racing cars. Yes. And the really cool thing when we were living in Mexico is that my real hermano, my brother James, actually came to visit. And we went on the road trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
We went to the desert.
Yeah, Cuatro Cienegas.
Yes.
And it was, Pedro, you were so good. Like, tell me, in Mexico, because we were there, I was there 6 months, well, just less than 6 months, maybe 4 months. Well, one semester, but you did two semesters. So you were there almost 1 year?
Yes, 10 months.
Yeah.
Also with Christmas time in the middle. I then came back to Spain. So I spent 10 months there, traveling all around Mexico, also some of the US, some of the states in the south. So I tried to visit the most of Mexico. When I speak with the Mexican people, they told me, oh, you know better my country than myself.
I think it's often the case with travelers. But you were really good. Like, I remember Pedro would do a lot of research and find these really cool places. And we went to this wonderful place called Gilitla together in the Huasteca Potosí, where we went to the canyon.
Huasteca Potosí, near San Luis Potosí.
Mm.
It was quite close to Monterrey, where we live, but maybe a 6 hour drive, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And so nice to do that as a group and to have someone who was so adventurous and say, oh, I found this place. Do you want to come? And sure. Of course I want to come. So we saw a lot. But did you... This is kind of a crazy time to be talking because it's right now we're in a pandemic. We're in the COVID-19 pandemic. And when we were in the school in Monterrey in Mexico, there was also, I think it was it was borderline pandemic.
It started there, no, in Mexico, in Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
Another similar flu.
Yeah, swine flu, yeah.
Yes. So I remember I was lying on the beach and my family phoned me saying that, oh, you have to came back to Spain, this new flu. But at the end it was May, so I spent one extra month there and finished university. So, yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, I left early, so... for me, it felt very weird after that time. Some people decided to travel because they closed the school. And some people decided to travel. They said, we can hang out here and it's fun. And for me, it just felt like this is very weird. I want to be with my family now. And that my brother was in America. So I said, you know, I'm going to take the opportunity. And hopefully we didn't know like this. You say, maybe we wait 1 or 2 weeks and then I can come back and visit again. But that went on for a few months and it went around the world a little bit, but nothing like this.
No,
this is
very different. Completely different, yes.
So it's been interesting for me. Those feelings all came back at the start. Like, oh, my gosh, I know what this is like, and they lock everything down and feels very weird, like not your home.
Yeah, so. When I wear the mask this past month, I realized, oh, I did it before in Mexico. I had to wear a mask, but maybe for 1 week, it was a completely different situation.
Yeah, and so now in Spain, you said it's been 100 days lockdown?
Yes, I think it was 98 days of lockdown with different stages. At the beginning, everything was closed. And we moved from one state to another one. But now everything looks like normal. We are wearing the mask and we try to avoid crowd places. So we have to maintain the social distance and this kind of things that yeah, every country must do.
¿Cómo se dice social distance?
Distancia social.
I said that to my Mexican friend.
Quite similar.
Yeah, I said that to him. I'm like, distancia social? And he was like, they have a different word for it. Or like, it was like social...
No.
Distanciamiento. Something. I was like...
Distanciamiento social, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why are you making it longer for me? The words sometimes and all the accent. Oh. Anyway, we should actually ask, like, so where are you from in Spain originally? Where's your family from?
My family is from Soria in Castilla y León, which is a region in north of Spain, close to Madrid. Well, this is the family of my father, and the family of my mother belongs to Valencia in the coast, in the Mediterranean Sea. So, yeah, I was born in Soria 37 years ago. And I live there with my family, with my parents, with my sister, until when I was 18 years old. I moved to Burgos in the same region. So I go to university there in Burgos. And during university, apart from Mexico, I had the opportunity to live in Italy for 5 months. And at the end, I went to UK for an internship in a Spanish company. And yeah, that's it.
And I got to meet you there. We saw each other. It was just in the airport or something. Or no, we went for a drink or something. We saw each other one time in the United Kingdom. We saw each other.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah. I was there visiting my brother and you were also there at the same time. So... was looking through all the pictures the other day. I was like, I know I've seen you somewhere and thought it was UK. So that was cool. It was really nice. So, and then now, like I know now, so right now, this moment, you're in a holiday house, but otherwise,
yes.
Where do you live in Spain normally?
I live in Barcelona. I moved to Barcelona after university, so 10 years ago, more or less. I have worked there for different companies, mainly in the automotive industry. I work as a continuous improvement engineer. And during that time, I met my actual wife,
yay,
Paola. And yeah, this year will be very different from us because we are waiting for a baby girl who will arrive in October.
Oh, qué emoción. Qué bonita. Oh, una chica. I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yes.
And then your holiday house, where are you? You're in La Costa on the coast.
It's on the coast near Valencia maybe between Valencia and Barcelona. It's called Vinaroz. It's where the family of my mother lived many years ago. Nowadays, most of them go to Madrid or Valencia. But every time on holidays, we came here. And yeah, I spend all my summers here. So it's special for me.
It's beautiful. And Barcelona is on the coast as well. They have a beach.
Yes. Yes. It's all three cities, Valencia, Vinaroz, and Barcelona in the Mediterranean Sea.
That's beautiful. It's a lovely place to be. And I had the pleasure. And it's funny, like we say in English Barcelona, but obviously correct is Barcelona. And my husband Matthew doesn't speak Spanish, but if he ever says Barcelona, he says Barcelona. Always, he loves the way the pronunciation, so the correct pronunciation. So, but I got to come and see you, but you were living in Villafranca.
Yes, Villafranca del Penedès, near Barcelona. It's 50 kilometers away from Barcelona. And you came, which, yeah, I don't remember.
2014.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and it was special because it was the time of the Castillos.
Yes, it's in the whole Catalonia region, they make human castles, but Villafranca is the best one. They are incredible. They have these castles with 10 floors.
Yes, yes.
people. It's amazing. You go, and we went to a training session.
Yes.
Because every Friday from May, June up to August, which is the season of the castles. So I thought it was a very good opportunity to see something special for you.
Oh, see, it was so, for me, I love, this is one of the things I love. I try not to do too much research. Like, there might be one thing, you know, like in Barcelona, you know that you've got the Gaudi, like, you know, you've got some things
familia,
that you're going to, you want to see. But a lot of the time I love to go and visit a friend and say, you show me and you tell me. And it's so nice when you arrive and someone says, well, I thought we could do this thing and I don't know if you know it and it's something special. And that, I've seen the photos and it, like, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's like, looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa made of people. Like, it's just this tower straight up of people. And I mean, it's serious business. Like you said, it's, you're stacking 10 stories of people. If you fall from the top, it's muy peligroso. Like, it's very dangerous.
Yes. Yes, maybe they have eight floors with people, and the last two are small kids, which go up like monkeys. It's incredible.
And even in the training, they did very high.
Yes, yes, very high. They have some equipment for security during the training, but when they do life on the street, they have nothing. For kids, they have helmets, but sometimes they fall down, but all the people help the rest. And I think they never had a big issue or an accident.
Well, that's good. That's good. It really, like, makes your heart race watching them. And we had some really nice sort of simple dinner. We had some, they were like bocadillos, like a sandwich type.
Yes, butifarra, which is famous in Catalonia.
It was really nice. Just some simple thing. And the afternoon, I think when I first got there, you took me for some, it's the cava.
Cava, yes. It's like champagne, but that is the Catalan champagne. It's cava.
But it was like €2, so, which is quite affordable. So it was... Yes, and Spain, the food is quite affordable for a traveler.
Yes, and I think it's very, very good. Maybe it's not the Spanish cuisine is not maybe well known as the Italian, for example, but it's I think it's very, very good. And it's quite cheap, yes.
But in Barcelona, like where you're from, because people know Spanish and they know tapas, but tapas, they're not so much from that part, right? They're more like southern part?
Yes, yes. Southern, also north of Spain, they have very, very good tapas. But especially there are some cities in the south of Spain, in Andalucía, for example, where you can eat or have dinner with very few euros, because you order a drink and they give for free a small tapa. So if you order six or seven small drinks, you can have six or seven tapas.
Yeah.
It's very good.
And they're really like, they're so, depends, because some place that a tapas might be some olives, some chips or something like that, some chorizo. But then the next place is like, I had one and it was French fries, one plate of French fries or one small hamburger or one plate of octopus, and they just give it with your drink. Just here. Thank you. Gracias. And I that was in Granada. I had really good tapas. We did a tapas tour, and my gosh, yeah, you are very well fed. And really, especially for a backpacker, which I was only 19 on that trip, it was a really nice experience. So
yes, Granada is one of the famous cities for tapas.
Yeah, but you took me to a nice little place in when we were in Barcelona. We just found it, but they did a tapas style. I think the way they serve the meal is quite. You have smaller dishes anyway.
Yes, in Barcelona you have to look for a special place because there are many places for tourists. And these places are quite expensive, and maybe the food is not the best quality, but if you know good places.
Mm. What sort of food would be typical? Like, I mean, we said before, like having those sort of sandwichy type things. What food would be typical for like where you're living now in Barcelona?
In Barcelona? Well, Barcelona is a very cosmopolitan city, so we have a lot of different food styles. But the, for example, close to Barcelona in Valencia, or where I live, where I am now, is famous the paella, Spanish paella, or paella in English.
No, we can speak correctly today. If you go to Spain, you have to say it right, people. Yeah,
but paella. Also, yeah, in Spain, we eat a lot of pork or lamb. We have good meat.
The jamón.
Jamón, for example. Yeah. Mm. It's all the parts of the pork. We use everything.
And we did something really cool. I mean, we were just talking before. We're trying to remember. I have a wonderful picture from it, but... we got together. Your friends are quite adventurous. You do a lot of adventure sort of sports. You like biking and things like that. So we all went out to a canyon for the day, and we did like kind of like a sup and kayaking day, which was beautiful.
Yes, I thought that maybe apart from visiting Barcelona, we can have a great time in this canyon, which is between Aragon and Catalonia. And yes, the name is the Mont-Rebei, is the name of the canyon, the Catalan name. But it's incredible. Some films were filmed or there. And yeah, we took some small boats. And, mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah, we visited the canyon. It was... yeah, a great time. We spent a great day.
It was really nice for me because I wasn't there for a long time. I think I came for 4 days. So to be able to go and to see more of the country, I'm very fortunate. I've been to, on one trip, I went to Madrid, in Valencia y Granada. And then another trip, I've been to Ibiza. And another trip, I've been to Ibiza 3 times. Now, do you think of Ibiza as Spain? Or do you feel like it's separate?
It's the Mallorca, Ibiza, these islands, it's like a new German state.
Yeah.
Of people from German who has a second residence or apartment there. I've never been to Ibiza, only to Mallorca, because I spend all summers here on the beach, so it's... But it's very beautiful, the islands in Spain. We have the Baleares, which is Ibiza, Mallorca, Formentera, which are close to Valencia. And we have the Canary Islands, so Islas Canarias.
Yes.
Close to Marruecos, very far from Spain.
For example, Spain.
Yes. And some volcanic islands. But for example, London is if you go to London, it's near that you go to Canary Islands from Madrid, for example. So they are far, far away.
Yeah, but it's still part of
Spain. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was so nice to like see they're all very different. So the Granada, Valencia, Madrid. On one trip, and then to go to Ibiza, which is a different thing, and then to go to Barcelona. So I've been very fortunate to see. I would love to come and do more of like a driving road trip. And you sold something to me, and that's to go is down near Granada. You've got the Pyrenees, and it's actually like close enough that you could ski in the morning and drive to the beach in the afternoon.
Yeah, not the Pyrenees. The Pyrenees are the mountains between France and Spain.
Oh, my geography is terrible.
Yeah, Granada is on the south of Spain, very close to the sea. So, yes, you can go skiing and then you can see the sea from the ski resort. So maybe at the end of the ski season in springtime, you can combine these two places, the mountain and the sea.
Just for fun. Yes. Just to say I did it. Just one day.
So, yes. So you have to come back to Spain. You are missing the north of Spain.
Oh, very different. I miss so much.
Lot of forest. Yeah. We have
it's a big country, pretty big country, really.
Yes, yes. It's like France, similar, Germany.
Yeah.
It's not a massive country like US or China, but it's medium size, let's say.
Do you have good trains to get around? Like, look, what's the popular way to, if you were to do a trip around Spain?
Yeah, we have some very good high-speed trains. During the last 20 years, for example, they spent a lot of money to increase the kilometers of trains in Spain. We had a lot of airports, maybe too much for Spain.
See.
Nowadays they are closing some of them because they are not very efficient. But yeah, we have very good roads and trains to travel inside Spain.
So do you think this year for you, because I know that you love travel and you've been to many places, you're wearing a Nueva Zelanda, New Zealand shirt as we speak, and yes, some of the pictures I'll share of you've been to India and many other places. Do you plan this year to maybe see a bit more of Spain? Like you've seen quite a bit of Spain.
Yes, sure. Yes, I have visited many places, but still missing some of them. But this year, for sure, apart from the pandemic, during this summer with my wife pregnant, so we will travel in Spain, not abroad. So abroad trips will wait for some years.
Yeah, but at least you can drive continue over the border. Like, you're so lucky when you do want to go, and when they open up again, at least you have so many countries on your doorstep. How far would Italy be?
Yeah, Italy is quite close, but we are next to France and Portugal, also very close to Morocco, but we have to cross the sea, but it's, I think, 15 kilometers. It's very, very, very close.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But in Europe, everything is close to, we are in the south of Europe, but you can go to Germany, Poland. It's like not big distances like Australia.
Yes. So maybe next year I can lure you to sample Ibiza for the first time, because I'm going back for the fourth time. It sounds like I love to party, but actually the first time I went, I did go for the party with some 10 English girls, which is very typical. But actually, even on that trip, I went to the other side of the island, to the Ibiza town side, and that's where the locals live. And it's a beautiful island. And then my friends moved from the UK and they now live in Ibiza. So I went back to visit them twice, and now they're going to get married. So they've invited me for the wedding. And so if I can't get you to Ibiza, maybe I'll have to fly through Barcelona and bring Matthew to see you. That would be
perfect.
Wonderful. I would happily visit Spain again any day. It is a fascinating country. And is there any other place in Spain that you would recommend if someone's coming, maybe somewhere like, obviously a lot of people do come for Madrid or for Barcelona or like Valencia. I went to La Fuentina there. People come for those places, but where would you say is somewhere that people maybe don't know they should go?
As I mentioned before, the north of Spain is they have very beautiful region, Galicia, Asturias, País Vasco. We had the Camino de Santiago. I don't know the name in English. It's St. James, the Way of St. James, or no?
The Way, yeah, but we know it's Camino de
Santiago. Camino Santiago, yeah.
Oh, I want to do that so much. And I want to do it properly. So I want to do the full, not the whole from Spain. I want to do the Spanish bit.
Yes.
And they say approximately 30 days.
Yes. Yes.
So, because it's how many kilometers? Maybe 600, 500 something.
Yeah, 600 or 700 maybe. That depends where you start, but yeah, you will end it in Galicia,
in
Santiago de Compostela. Yes, I visited Galicia last summer for the first time, and it's very very beautiful. I have to go again, and the family of my wife belongs to Galicia, so we will spend some time there for sure in the future.
They have some very good seafood there, I think.
Yes, yes, very very famous. But yeah, we have a lot of places in Spain. We have like 40 or 50 UNESCO World Heritage places in Spain, because related to history or beautiful landscapes. Spain was a very big kingdom many years ago,
with the palace, and there's still some palaces and things.
Yes, some castles. Yes,
beautiful. And you've mentioned a few times, and you taught me a little bit about it. I'm terrible, so I'd rather you explain, but you were saying before Catalan, and there's sort of a interesting where you live around Barcelona. There's the Catalan, is it?
Yes, we have a political issue in Catalonia, because some of the people who live there, they want to become independent, so they want to separate from Spain. But yes, it's a problem in Spain, also in some other countries. But we can speak more about travel. This is podcast, not a political.
But the language is different. There's
The Catalan. They use a different language in Catalonia, but also in Galicia they speak a different language, or in the Basque Country they speak a different country, in Valencia. So yes, they have different culture. Catalan or Valenciano are similar. You can understand more or less, but it's not like Mexican and Spanish. It's a different language.
Yeah, okay.
It's close to French. Yeah, they have the French culture as well. That's very, very interesting.
It is. I asked you lots of questions when I was there, and I'm just terrible, but I remember it's, and the flag is there. So you see the Spanish flag and then you see the Catalonian flag sometimes.
Yes. Many people put the independent Catalonian flag on the walls of the office apartment. Some of them also the Spanish flag. It's like a small war, but yes. Hope. It doesn't came to a real war.
Yes. And so tell me, football is a big thing there. So who's your football team?
I support Atletico de Madrid. In Spain we love football. We have also Barcelona Football Club, Real Madrid. We have one of the best leagues in the world. The Spanish league is world famous.
And you won the World Cup a few
years ago. 10 years ago, sorry.
Is it 10 years ago? I can't believe
10
it.
10 years, yes. 2010 in South Africa.
Oh, my God. I remember, but the whole country just, was a party for, a week after, right?
Yes, because we won the European tournament 2 years before that, and also the European tournament 2 years after. So in 2008, 2010, and 2012, we were celebrating the Spanish triumph, with the Spanish team.
Wonderful. All right, and you have to give me, if there's one thing that people should know when they're coming to Spain, is there some tip something that they should know before they come?
Some tips? I don't know.
I'll give my tip. Okay. The people will speak Spanish at you. If you say hola, ¿cómo estás? ¿Dónde están los baños? They think you speak Spanish, or they don't care that you don't, and they will talk at you like very fast. So it's good to learn some words, but be prepared that the Spanish people enjoy speaking Spanish, so they will happily talk to you.
Yes, we are improving our English or our languages skill, but not too many people speak English, for example. Maybe in Germany, for example, people speak fluent English, not in Spain, but the situation is changing. But yeah, if you go to speak with elder people or people above 50 or 60 years old, it's quite difficult that you meet someone that you can meet someone who speaks English.
But it's a very helpful language to know, and probably the reason that so many people maybe didn't speak so much English, because a lot of people do come to Spain and want to practice their Spanish and have learned it. It's the second most widely spoken language in the world?
Maybe it's the second, yes, after Chinese.
Yeah, because of the amount of countries and the population that can speak it, I believe. So, but also widely, like anywhere in South America, I mean, in Brazil, they speak Portuguese, but even then they understand Spanish. So it's very helpful.
Yes, many. Yeah, most of the places in South America, in also North America and Mexico, they speak some of the, in the states of the United States, they can speak Spanish. Yes, yes, it's a very useful language.
Yes, but then I know for you, like, frustrating sometimes, and Laura as well, like, with, if people always try to speak Spanish to you, you're saying, no, I want to practice my English. Let me talk to you in English. So
yes,
to be really strict to
because
practice.
English is quite different. So, yeah, we spend many years to try to study English and to learn English properly.
You speak very well. You always have to me. I think very impressed.
Yeah, for us, it's more easier to speak French or more especially specifically Italian or Portuguese. They are more similar to Spanish
because of the grammatical structure.
The origin, yes, it's Latin origin of the or of the language. So I can go to Italy and speak Spanish, and we can communicate more or less. Also in Portugal. But if I go to the UK and I speak Spanish, nobody can understand me.
No. And when you try and guess, you're probably, my favorite one used to be to say, estoy embarazada. And people say, no, Emma, you can't say that. And I was like, what? I'm embarrassed. And it's like, no, embarazada means you're pregnant. So don't do that one. That's a bad one.
Yes.
You learn this only by making the mistakes. So.
Yeah, these false friends with English, you have to take care.
Well, mil gracias. It was so nice to speak with you and to see you again. I always like to see you, hopefully in person sometime not too far in the future. Quizás en Australia or quizás en España. No sé.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I would like to travel to Australia, as I told you many times, but it's very far. Yeah.
And it's
New Zealand, but yes. You need almost 3 weeks to see properly the country. So yeah, let's see.
Un día. Bueno, okay, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everyone, and thank you, Emma and Pedro, for this great episode.
Mil gracias.
Sí, está bien.
Yeah, no, it was super fun catching up. And yeah, I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and definitely can't wait to have more local friends from around the world coming on the podcast. And it's yeah, a bit selfish, but it's a lovely way for me to catch up with people too.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way definitely have more people on from their country speaking about their country. I'm doing terrible at this outro bit. thanks everyone for listening again. Remember, you can find us online at all sorts of different locations. Lovelytravels.com. Email us, info@lovelytravels.com. Has anyone emailed us, Emma?
Only the people that I emailed to say, can you be on the podcast? So, yeah, send us questions, guys, or tell us what you want. What do you want? What do you want to hear? Do you like the countries? Do you like the guests? Do you like the rambling outros? What do you want?
We could do
What do you want?
A whole outro episode.
I feel like that's just our episodes. The same.
We'll put it on the ideas pile. Lovely Travels on Instagram. We have an amazing Facebook group where I even remember to look at some weeks.
Really selling it there. It's like the high of the day. No, I mean,
you're there and other travelers are there, and like it's fun.
That's the selling point.
That's the selling point. I'm just a bonus.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So thanks for listening again. Have I missed anything?
You've got it all. Search Lovely Travels, LOVELLY Travels. You will find us. So we look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you.
Definitely. Until we meet again, adios.